Abiding by the governor's stay-at-home advisory. We're once again virtual for today's meeting. So with that, our Zoom license only allows for 500. I don't think we'll hit that today, but the meeting minutes and audio will also be available on the district website once we are able to format that. To the participants who are not a part of the sort of board panel, the folks who will be sitting up front at the board meeting, your cameras and microphones are turned off. The chat feature is turned on for now, but participants can only chat with the host in order to sign up for public comment, which will come during the public meeting portion, which begins around 7 or whenever we're out of executive session. If you're interested in speaking during that portion, you must provide your full name and the topic that you wish to address in the chat at that time. And just know that you'll be asked to turn on your microphone and camera to present. And then once that starts, we will turn the chat off. So I am going to entertain a motion to move into executive session.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, with a motion by Reverend McClymont and a second by Ms. Evans to move into executive session, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. We will be back as soon as the executive matters are concluded. Okay, it is currently 7:37, and I'd like to call the December 16th, 2020 meeting of the Smyrna School Board of Education to order. Just want to kind of remind everyone of the rules of the road for tonight. The meeting is being recorded. The meeting minutes and recording will be posted on the district website as soon as we're able to get them formatted and up. Cameras and microphones will be turned off for participants. The chat feature is turned on. However, participants can only chat with the host in order to sign up for public comment. If you're interested in speaking during the public comment portion, you must provide your full name and the topic that you wish to address in the chat prior to the start of public comment. Please know that if you're signing up for public comment, that you will be asked to share both your audio and video at that time. The chat will be turned off after the public comment portion begins. Okay, so we will begin, as awkward as it is, over Zoom with the Pledge of Allegiance and moment of silence. Jody, it would be great if you could turn on the microphones of some of the other board members so it's not just me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic
which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, and liberty, and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Williams, are there any changes to the agenda? Looks like we need to unmute Mr. Williams. There we go.
There are none.
Okay, great. So we will go ahead to reports and updates, and we will start with the principal's report. Today, we would have, had we been in person and traveling around to the schools where we typically do, it would have been time for Sunnyside Elementary, and I'm virtually there tonight. So we will turn it over, I believe, to Mrs. Buscemi.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
We can.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for having me join the meeting this evening. I am Mrs. Buscemi, and I'm the associate principal at Sunnyside Elementary. Before I begin, I just wanted everyone to know that Mr. Grant is unable to be with us tonight, but he does send his best and gives a message saying that he wants to thank everyone for reaching out for all their kind words and thoughts and notes that they have sent his way. All right, I am going to share my screen with everyone because I have a presentation to share with you all. Okay, let's see. All right, so as I get started, I just wanted to share some of the great things that we are doing at Sunnyside since the start of the school year. Currently, our enrollment is up to 567 students, and that is up from 544 since the beginning of August. So we are slowly growing. Out of the 567 students that we have, about two-thirds are learning in our hybrid model, and about one-third, which is 187 students, are learning virtually at home. Since the beginning of the year, we have hired 4 new teachers this year and 4 extra support staff to help our students. And as far as growing as a community, we have had 3 births so far this year. We have 3 new Eaglelettes that have joined our Smyrna Eagle community. And in this picture, you have Mrs. Morris with her beautiful daughter, Ruby, and she has given me permission to share their picture. So in the beginning of the year, we wanted to have a fun way to for our students to get to know our teachers because they couldn't come into the building for a typical open house and wanted to give them the opportunity to meet the staff members that they were going to be interacting with. So we decided to create this virtual open house, and families were sent a link that they could click on with the staff's Bitmojis so that they could watch a brief video for their teacher for the upcoming year. And as you can see, Mr. Grant was so excited. He was doing his little dance for the virtual open house. As far as technology, to date, we have given out 324 Chromebooks that are lent out and being used by students. We have a sign out process, so the teachers can either be contacted by the parents, or the parents can go online and create, fill out an online request form for their request. And typically those requests are filled most likely like 12 to 24 hours after the receipt of those. So back in October, we were happy to see our students return to us and to see those that, you know, came into the building for the hybrid model. And I don't know if it was us or school lunch, but you can see from the smiles of these students that they were very, very happy to be back. Here's some more of our kiddos. And our teachers have been working very hard as well and tirelessly on their lessons and learning new technology to keep their students engaged to make the learning, you know, interactive and fun for all the students. And these photos are just a small snapshot of the great work that they're doing. In kindergarten, they've been learning about the different winter holidays from around the world. And one of them was Christmas in Germany. So as a culminating activity, the students did a directed draw of a gingerbread house. And you can see in this Zoom some of their creations that they had shared with their classmates and their teachers. Our first grade students start off their day with a morning meeting, and this is what it looks like. They go over their morning message with the class. They get together in a restorative circle, discuss any topics that are needed. They honor the student of the week, similar things that they would be doing if they were in class. They go over activities such as the calendar, number corner lessons. They begin working on their, and they begin working on their assignments. They also have a little fun. I don't know if you noticed the little elf in the left bottom hand corner. And that elf moves around every day. So the students are very eager the next day to see where the elf is going to be next. Also, our first grade students were doing a lesson on dinosaurs. One of our students, the little gentleman on the left, was very, very eager to share his dinosaur with his teacher. He is a big fan of dinosaurs. So the teacher, in response to that, was very thinking of a creative way on what she could do for that student. So she sent him a picture of a little dinosaur walk that she did and one of the dinosaurs she encountered that day on her walk. Our little student to the left, they're also keeping busy by learning their power words and reading. So this student is practicing her words by writing them out in Play-Doh. Sunnyside Storytime. That is something that launched last spring. And last spring when we went virtual, the staff pulled together and got together to create a Facebook page named Sunnyside Storytime. And each day and night, the teachers presented a story from March to June for each of the kiddos, featuring some of the Sunnyside staff members on that Facebook page. There were over 35 staff members that participated in this, and there was a total of 50 books that were presented to the students. Even a chapter book was presented by our reading specialist, Mrs. Math. And then we even finished off the year with a fun little activity called the Mass Reader. And that was where the students got to guess who the reader was of the day. And this was a fun activity that the students really, really got into. In each of the related arts classes, the virtual classrooms of the related arts, the students can find a 45-minute lesson each week. And these lessons include extension activities, virtual games, and even ways to interact with the teachers through links such as Flipgrid exit tickets. The related arts teachers also created a little parody of to the song Bust a Move, and it was called Click the Link, so that it encouraged students to go out and check all the activities that were out there. In computer tech, students are working on coding. In phys ed, they have exercise challenges that they can explore, as well as fun games that go along with any of their activities. In art, the students have lessons that they can upload on Artsonia so that they can keep later for their families. In library, they have lessons as long as the ability to listen to some of the great stories that Mrs. Ulper and Mrs. Asbury have for the students. And something we also did was a little curbside pickup in September. This curbside pickup was offered, and students can use the online library feature to search the books that are available. They put in a request to Mrs. Ulper and Mrs. Asbury, and then their orders are fulfilled. The students can come pick up their orders the same day. And then, they receive a notification that their books are ready to be picked up. Once they're done, they just return them. They go into a quarantine, and then they can be safely returned to the students once they're out of that quarantine period. So it's a really good thing that we can get those books into the hands of all the students. In music, Mrs. Muhammad has been doing a spectacular job with engaging her students in music. Next week, she is featuring a Bitmoji sing-along for the students, and that's where the students can click on different things that'll take them to some holiday songs, with teach them the motions, the dances, and we'll teach them some cool videos as well. Mrs. Muhammad also wanted to share some of the beautiful pieces that her students have been learning semester, this marking period. And it is a piece on the Nutcracker. So,
hello, my name is Mrs. Muhammad, and I am the music teacher at Sunnyside Elementary. I just wanted to take a quick second to say thank you for allowing us a short moment of your meeting to showcase some of our amazing students and what they've been working on in the music room. I also want to take a quick minute just to remind everyone these pieces are not performance ready by any means. In fact, the two pieces from the Nutcracker you're going to see in just a moment were actually learned in about 10 minutes and then filmed right after. I just wanted to give you a small taste of what we've been doing with our new safety guidelines here in the Sunnyside Music Room.
So you can tell that the students really enjoyed what they're doing, and Mrs. Muhammad does a fabulous, fabulous job engaging her students and making music fun. So thank you all for allowing me to share the great things that Sunnyside Elementary is doing. I hope everyone has a very happy and most importantly, healthy holiday.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Buscemi. That was adorable. Mrs. Muhammad always looks so enthusiastic. I know she's done some things on the Smyrna virtual field trip page, and that's been lovely to see. And Mrs. S, who I know is also out right now, she does such a lovely job at the holidays decorating Sunnyside. And it was nice to have a little bit of a treat, a little bit of piece of Sunnyside during this meeting, even without being there physically. So yeah. Thank you very much.
You are very, very welcome. I know she was sad not to have a live performance, but she wanted to, you know, do the best she could to bring all that joy and happiness and all of, you know, their performances to everyone. So I'm glad you all enjoyed it.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay, next we have the superintendent's report. Mr. Williams.
Yes, Madam President, a couple of items for this evening. First of all, as Mrs. Buscemi mentioned, all eight of our schools resumed virtual instruction on Monday, December 7th, of all dates. On December 3rd, that Thursday, we had worked throughout the day with the governor's office and DPH. And when the governor made his announcement, we anticipated the pause, as the governor has called it, back into a virtual environment. The governor mentioned for operational reasons, again, in our schools, the safest place to be for students and staff. We've had very little difficulty managing the infection rates. They are not a reflection of what's happening in our community. We know that in our community, as mentioned this week at the governor's press conference, Smyrna is one of the top five cities. Two areas of Wilmington, Frederica and Frankfurt being the other four, that are well over 500 cases per 100,000 in the community. And over the last several weeks, we've all, every one of us, I'm certain, in this Zoom and many more people at home have been monitoring the data. And we all know this is an incredibly difficult time. We also know that the plan is to return to hybrid instruction on January 11th. And it's essential that everyone do their part to make sure that happens. Each week, Governor Carney, Dr. Carol Rattay, Dr. Hong, even AJ Shaw from DEMA will talk about the importance of following the protocols, especially during the holidays coming up, so that each of us remains healthy and safe and is able to return to our schools and our classrooms on January 11th for all of our students who need to be there. I mean, the video demonstrates that, the many testimonials that many of us have heard from our families, the outpouring of sadness when the decision was made to return to virtual on December 7th, all of that reinforces our why. And the why for every single one of us is to be in the classroom and in the schools working with our students face-to-face, albeit socially distanced and with masks, but to be in the classroom providing instruction. There is no perfect replacement for that. We're doing the very best we can, managing an incredibly difficult time for every member of our community and frankly, every member of our country and throughout the globe. So we're in virtual and our plan is to resume hybrid instruction on January 11th. It's critical that we make those preparations and that we're able to deliver on that promise to our community and throughout the state. Looking at some of the preparations that we've made and also monitoring the state's financial picture and fiscal health, we know that this time has been incredibly challenging for the state and also for our district to be able to provide everything that we need to be able to provide for our families. Given the terms of the financial picture and looking at our district, I know since I've been here, 2014 is my most recent memory when we went to a current expense referendum. Mr. Gallagher this evening is going to talk a little bit later on about the need to move our finances forward and looking at some of the construction projects and looking at some of the anticipated rising costs to maintain with efficacy instruction, whether it's virtual, hybrid, or full-on traditional. We're going to be talking about our financial health and moving forward and looking at an opportunity to improve what we do, again, from Mr. Gallagher and his office. Also wanted to talk a little bit about the circumstances in our classrooms and in our schools. And one component that Jessica Weller, Mrs. Weller, has been working on as our supervisor of school climate is increasing the social and emotional learning components, even though we're either hybrid or virtual. And to that end, she's shared with us today that she's been able to set up a partnership with Jill Casey, a parent in our district and an educator in another district. and we'll be offering yoga free of charge to our staff once a week, and will also be recorded and provided virtually to students and their families if they are so inclined. And that will be another opportunity for people to generate some self-care, extend grace to one another, and find some peace within this very turbulent world we live in. Speaking of finding peace in a turbulent world, in our schools, particularly in our high school, our students were able to enjoy one week of hybrid instruction before we pivoted, to use the governor's terminology, back to a virtual model. And those of us who have experience with the high school know that age group. I myself was a high school teacher for 14 years and both a high school and middle school administrator. And I know what it's like to be able to enjoy all of the benefits of a high school environment, middle school likewise, intermediate and elementary. In the high school, one topic of conversation always revolves around the athletic opportunities for students. And many of them look to those opportunities to build a path towards college and a successful future, or a path towards a work world and learn self-discipline and training and sound body and mind. So it's been a very difficult balance. I often describe this as balancing on a teeter-totter, you know, the fulcrum, but the fulcrum keeps moving. And so you try to maintain your balance as everything keeps changing around us. And our primary responsibility always, but especially during this time we're in right now, is to safeguard everyone's health, safety, and well-being. I mean, we have said those words, we've practiced that mission for years before I ever got here, and I arrived in 2004. And so even now more than ever, that mission is a priority for students and staff and all of our families. So it's been a very difficult challenge to try to find that balance between offering instruction and extracurricular opportunities for our students, so such that the extracurriculars don't in any way jeopardize the instructional piece. That's a lot of words. What I really mean is this. Winter sports practices are ongoing in a variety of districts. I think just about every district in the Hanlopen Conference except for Smyrna. And we know this. We made a very conscientious decision as an administrative leader and working with our team and the high school. I think we made a sound decision. We're trying to err on the side of caution and make sure that our families are well protected, particularly during the holidays, so that we can reopen on January 11th. We also understand that the governor has announced practices will begin on January, competitions will begin on January 11th and extend for 7 weeks through February 26th. With all of that in mind, the district had announced on December 3rd that practices would be postponed until December 28th. In working with our community and working with this board and working with our leadership teams at the district and at the high school level, we've decided to modify that practice schedule a bit, just a bit, so that some steps can be taken prior to the holidays to get everyone on the same page. What we are planning to do, and we will announce this tonight, and then of course get the messaging out to our teams and our coaches. We know we have a few days here before the 23rd, which is supposed to be the beginning of winter break. We thought about this week, we thought about next week, we thought about the week after, and we're going to strike a balance. What we're going to do is open up the gyms and the Ron Eby Wrestling Forum for practices beginning Monday the 21st, the 21st and the 22nd, for the student athletes to come in with their coaches. We'll communicate this, spend tomorrow working with the high school, with Mr. Holt and our custodial teams to make sure everything is ready. We've got a lot of work to do to update our checklist, make sure we have protocols in place, make sure we have a cleaning regimen, make sure we have schedules firmed up. This will allow our student athletes to come in on Monday and Tuesday, meet with the coaches. And the goal for those 2 days will be to impress in no uncertain terms the urgency of the situation. We are in a pandemic, and social distancing, mask wearing, all of that is critical, not only in school, but out of school, for students and all of our staff to be able to follow those protocols so that we can enjoy some semblance of normalcy on January 11th. Not just, you know, in the gym or on the mat, but in the classroom. That's where it all begins. And we want everyone to be able to get back to the classroom at that time. So as I said, we'll be working with our coaching team, with our athletic director, Bill Schultz, with Stacy Cook at the high school to make sure the next 2 days we have all of our preparations ready so that they can safely begin on Monday and begin setting some parameters for healthy and safe practices through the winter sports season. There is no right answer during this time period. There is no decision that is going to resonate with everyone. Folks who are pro athletes will be somewhat pleased by a decision to start earlier. Some who are much more pro academics will be questioning why athletes can come in when students cannot. These are the balances, these are the decisions, this is the teeter-totter that we're on. And as I said, there is no perfect decision. But because the state has indicated that practices may resume and continue, I should say, while hybrid instruction is paused, we're trying to make the best decision that we can to safeguard the health, safety, and welfare of everyone. We want nothing to jeopardize our students and our staff's return to the schools and the classrooms on January 11th. And every decision we made up through this moment and continuing for the balance of this school year will have that priority in place. Additionally, next week on Wednesday the 23rd, we've partnered with DEMA and DPH to offer another pop-up testing site for COVID. And it'll be, as I said, on the 23rd, we'll be putting that out. It's going to be at Smyrna Middle School in the multipurpose room, which is a perfect opportunity. There's parking on the west end of the school. There's a separate entrance in and out. The traffic flow works well. We've already done one event there, and this will be a second event. We encourage every student. We encourage every student athlete. We encourage every coach. We encourage every staff member. We encourage every member of the community to get tested and know their status, just as Governor Carney has asked us to do repeatedly and faithfully for months and months now. And so if we're really going to put our money where our mouth is, and we want to make sure that people are safe, we need to be able to provide testing for them, and we need to encourage them to do it. And we'll also need to make sure that our coaches and our staff members and all of those folks who will play a role in opening the schools to student athletes on Monday the 21st are fully prepared. So it's up to everyone. We're gonna move up the date. We're gonna get folks doing what they need to do, but we're also very serious that every protocol and every plan must be in place, and we will make sure that that happens. And that is the superintendent's report for tonight.
Thank you very much, Mr. Williams, and thank you for stressing all that you did. It is absolutely that teeter-totter, and I think sometimes we're on the down end and sometimes we're on the up end, and I think many of us in elementary school were sometimes on the seesaw when somebody jumped off and left us flying. So I feel like that's a great metaphor for 2020 and the decisions that you and the entire leadership have had to make. So thank you for your report.
Thank you.
Okay, we will move on to 6.3 on the agenda. Mr. Holt, operations.
All right, thank you very much. So all operations groups are engaged in returning to school activities, returning to hybrid activities for January. Our buildings and grounds team, we're excited to welcome students back to Smyrna High School for, as Mr. Williams and everyone has indicated, for 1 week, for 4 days. We're looking forward to getting them back. As far as buildings and grounds with HVAC, we've been doing everything to keep up with the returning to school guidance, as well as to maintain our compliance with ASHRAE recommendations. All of the filters and all of the preventative maintenance has been done on the HVAC systems. We're continuing to monitor and ensure that we have an adequate supply of our personal protective equipment. As I reported last month, we have a abundant supply of the PPE.
Looks like we lost Mr. Holt.
Chromebooks to each of the buildings to ensure that any students with additional needs will have those devices available for pickup. The district has purchased, as well as we have received, MiFi units from Connect Delaware to be sure or to be able to supply our students and address any connectivity issues that they have. The technology team has coordinated a special project to be able to extend Wi-Fi out into the parking lots of four of our schools, as I mentioned last month, Smyrna High School, Smyrna Middle School, Clayton Intermediate, and Sunnyside. So under the technology resources page on the website, there are heat maps that post where in the parking lot that Wi-Fi signal can be picked up. So we have that available for any students with needs that go beyond what is available at their homes. Technology is also going to be available for any support by phone in their office from 7 to 3 on Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Fridays. Our transportation team, Sharon, is working with our contractors to make sure that we're still getting support on Wednesdays with food delivery. We're having curbside pickup at 8 school sites as well as 10 community sites. Those 10 community sites are supported by our transportation contractor. So that's a wonderful partnership. Okay, sorry. Sorry, I guess my audio is breaking up. Is that better?
Yeah, that's a little better. Thank you.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It happens all
of us. We finished up our partnership on, okay, I'm sorry. Comcast is struggling tonight out in Clayton, so I apologize. So Child Nutrition finished up their partnership on December 2nd with the town of Smyrna, where we coordinated an event with the USDA Farm to Family program. We're continuing to provide curbside service each week to our students and our community. And next week, one thing we did vary things a little bit. Instead of Wednesday, we're doing a Tuesday afternoon pickup next week. So for any of our families that are watching or listening to the board meeting, that'll be next Tuesday, the 22nd, from 4 to 5:30. School climate and safety, Jess Weller is still working hard to make sure that we're taking care of our students' needs. Take Care of Delaware, she is creating some internal reporting for us to follow. We're transitioning from EVRIT to Navigate EMS, which is a state program for tracking of safety drills, tabletop exercises, and fire drills. She's collaborating with staff to create a monthly calendar for virtual SEL lessons for teachers, as well as collaborating with curriculum to support weekly parent check-ins with SEL information. And as many of us have either participated in or viewed, working on virtual field trip planning for the remainder of the school year, as well as working on some long-term strategic planning for the school climate and safety department. So I apologize for my poor connection. If you have any questions, if you need me to clarify anything that may have broken up, please let me know.
Thank you, Mr. Holt. I think we got the gist of it. A lot going on in the operations, and certainly continue to thank you and your team for all of the additional services you're providing to our students and our community as we are, as our buildings are limited with what we're able to do for service. So again, appreciate all the work that you're doing there. Okay, let's see if internet in Comcast in Clayton is working for Mrs. Holt. Curriculum.
So we are heading into January, where we are kicking off our community event. We are doing one district, one book. So our goal is to get our K-6 students the book, The Mouse and the Motorcycle. And we have activities planned, online reading, student activities. I included some in your package tonight. And it's just some of that outreach that we would normally be doing in working to do it in a virtual setting. Some of the other things that have happened in the past month, we met with our admin team to give them curriculum updates. As you know, we are kicking off ARC this year, and just that virtual to hybrid update and you know, ways that they could support their staff. We completed our Title I compliance monitoring, and at the secondary level, we are looking at some new ELA curriculum. And I'm going to stop there before I challenge my internet.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Holt. Okay, next is special services. Dr. Rudinoff.
Hi, good evening. So I always like to give you a little bit of an update on the Special Ed Teachers Council. As a reminder, it's one representative from each of the schools as well as an early childhood representative. And what they do is they gather information from their school teams in regards to any concerns they have over special education issues, and also the kudos that they want to share. And so we go through that each month. And this month, they all wanted to share the excitement about having the students. At the time, it was all students, early childhood through high school, back in the buildings. And what a difference it was making for those students who were in the hybrid model and getting to see them. But at the same token, they talked about virtual students, and they talked about sharing ideas about engaging virtual students who were struggling to engage. And it was a really nice opportunity for the different buildings to share ideas with each other on what they're finding to be successful in that way. So just a really good positive feedback all around. So we'll meet again next month, and we'll see how we're going from there. So DOE is still very active because the feds have not let up on any of our indicators or reports or anything that we need to do. So we receive what's called an indicator report every year, and it basically is a check on how are you doing in a whole range of areas regarding special education, and it's lag data. So the report that we're working on now is data from 2018-19. And based on that, we look at the areas of concern, and we have to write a continuous improvement plan to address that. Some of the things, though, when my team got together and took a look at it, we felt that, for example, we had more students in self-contained classrooms than we had had previously. But when we looked at the flip side, we realized it's because Smyrna School District is also really committed to having their students and not sending them to more restrictive environments, which are schools outside. So it's a good opportunity to take a look and see what we can do to improve. We also, from that, realized that we are working hard to try to have more of our students in inclusive settings as well, though. And so the different schools at different grade levels have been working on trying to have TAM teachers, TAM classrooms to teachers, or at least a teacher and a paraprofessional to try to support students more in that A setting environment, that inclusive. So that's so we see some of the areas we need to work on, and we see that we're already making some of that progress. Another area that comes up each year is they look at disproportionality. And There is, the report covers if students in different ethnic groups are disproportionately identified for special education. And we do, and as part of our report, we are charged with presenting it to you to share the information. This year it came, and again, it's lag data. We were disproportionate in identifying African-American students with learning disabilities, African-American students with emotional disabilities, and white students with speech-only language impairments. So we take a look and we make sure that our practices are sound, and that we are following the same procedures for all students. And sometimes it's not necessarily an over-identification, sometimes it's an under-identification of other racial categories. So so it sparks some really good conversation about why we have some of that disproportionate data. So Roger was sharing with you about our food distribution at the schools and also with the school buses. We are definitely seeing from our department an increased need with some of our families. So we have some families who are not able to get into the distribution of the food in the buildings or those school buses. So we have gone out to provide that for them on a weekly basis, and those numbers have grown. We've also seen, we talked about last month supporting for Thanksgiving, the numbers of families, and then we also provide support for the holidays, and those numbers have grown. So we can see that we do have families who in our community have a variety of needs that we want to support, whether it be through food or technology or emotional support or, you know, sharing the holidays and gift giving. So we're going to continue to do that as a school district in any way that we can. And with that, we have supported our families in trying to help engage their students when they are virtual. But we do have to recognize that we have some students who have been given all of the tools to engage, but we have a small number who are still not. And so at this point, we're looking at how to address some truancy concerns. We've done some home visits where we, not going into the home, but outside having, just checking in to make sure everything going okay. We also will be sending letters to just say, remember, your child needs to participate, and the school will be sending their individual letters again to show support, but then to also say, this is a requirement. We have to move forward and make sure your child's engaging. Fortunately, through our efforts, the numbers have gotten smaller and smaller of who hasn't, but we will continue to work on that. So that's it.
Quick question for you on that last point. Is that something that the Department of Education is addressing? Sort of, I assume it is an issue not just in Smyrna, but wondering if there's state discussions happening about truancy and attendance and those kinds of things as we move forward in 2021.
Yes. So all of the visiting teachers across the state, and they're the ones who handle the truancy, had a meeting with the Department of Ed. And the conversation went that at some point we could, the districts can file truancy as they have in the past, where they would, the family would need to present in front of the truancy judge to talk about, what supports may need to be put in place there. But all of the districts said, we would only want to do that if we felt that we have provided every tool that we can to help these families. And it's just, they're just simply not doing it. Similar to when we're in school on a regular basis and they have every opportunity, but they're just not coming to school. So there, that's how the group is handling it as a whole.
Great. Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay, next up is Finance Department, Mr. Gallagher.
Yes, good evening, everyone. I apologize if you see my head. I feel like one of those bobbleheads. My notes all on one computer and some stuff in front of me and then a different laptop with the Zoom meeting. So as you see me kind of moving around, I'm just keeping an eye on all my notes. Wanted to talk a little bit about the fiscal 21 budget. That's the year we're currently in. You may have seen in the newspaper today, there were some reports on the enrollment and unit information for the various school districts. As you know, the unit and enrollment count was moved from September 30th this year to November 13th as a result of all the issues that districts were facing as a result of the pandemic. I have not seen the official certification letter, but when it does arrive as a district, we are one of the four districts, I believe, throughout the state that saw an increase in students. We were up one student over last year at 5,883 students. We were also up in units this year. We came in our unit count at 459.84. That was a growth of 4.74 units over the prior year. So again, one of the few districts that saw any type of an increase there. The article in the paper did talk about addressing the needs of some districts that saw significant loss of students and units over this past year. There are a variety of proposals that are being floated out there and being discussed. The final decision has not yet been made and released. We are keeping an eye on that and hopeful that we will see a little bit of additional funding if that does pan out. But we were fortunate that we are, since we did grow, we did receive funding for all of our staff. We are not in the situation that some districts were in where they were actually overstaffed or had to make some significant reductions to their staffing to stay within their state units. So hopefully we'll have more in the what I call the hold harmless provision next month. The other information I wanted to share with you is we have just finalized our choice in charter enrollments. And so for charter schools this coming year, as a district, we have 662 of our resident students who are attending school, who are attending one of the charter schools. That's up 6 students from last year. In terms of local funding, that is a hit on our local budget of over $795,000. So most of our students of that 662, not surprising, most of them are going to neighboring charter schools. We have 424 going to Providence Creek Academy, 108 going to First State Military Academy, both of which are in Clayton. And then 55 going to MOT Charter School up in Middletown. Again, very consistent with what we've seen in the past. Mm-hmm. In terms of choice, we continue to be a what I call a net importer of students. We have more students choosing to attend in Smyrna than we have Smyrna students choosing to attend other districts. We had 144 of our students choose to go to another district. We had 172 students choosing to go to another district. We had 448 students choose to come to Smyrna for their education. We are a net importer. That means that those students would bring in with them about $411,000 because the local school districts are responsible for providing the local share of the cost of those students if they would have stayed. Again, not surprising, as we see every year, most of the student movement is between Capital and Appaquinimic. We have, of the 448 students choicing into Smyrna, 353 are from Capital. And of our 172 students who are choicing out, 100 are choosing Appaquinimic. Again, they typically are neighboring districts or nearby charter schools. Those trends are very consistent with what we have seen in years past. Those numbers reflect, in addition, we were up 28 students choicing out of the district, but we were up 55 students choicing in. So those were just finalized. I believe it might have been today or late yesterday. So we'll get a little bit more comparison information for you for a future meeting so that you have it. Once again, in terms of a final budget for this year, given all the delays, I'll be looking at presenting a final budget hopefully next month. Most of the different requests and forms that the state have all been delayed as a result of the delay in the unit count from September to November. In terms of fiscal 22, as a business manager, we're always thinking multiple years out. I just want to let you know that next Monday will be the, I won't say the first, it's actually the second this year, meeting of the state financial advisory committee that is going to be making their latest round of estimates in terms of funding. The governor will be presenting his recommended budget in the end of January based on those numbers. So we're going to be anxious to see what will be in there in terms of education. Especially as we've talked about before, we knew that next year was going to be a very tight fiscal year. So we're not expecting a lot of new things, though even some of the issues from the settlement on the funding, really most of those would be taking place the following year, not in 22. The last thing, Mr. Williams talked about the referendum. We had a discussion on that last month. I want to give you a couple of changes. One, given the recent surge in the COVID cases throughout the state, schools moving to virtual instruction, the administration gave a lot of thought and is changing its initial recommendation we had discussed last month of a referendum on February 23rd. And at this point, we would be looking at making a recommendation that that date be March 23rd. That is also a Tuesday. That is pushing it out 1 month. The hope would be with the nicer weather, vaccine becoming more widely available, school hopefully at that point being back in session at a minimum in a hybrid scenario, that it would be a more appropriate time to be looking at holding that referendum. So tonight we will be asking you to approve that date. The referendum will consist of two items. One will be major capital improvements. As we discussed last month, we resubmitted, in essence, our capital budget request. And this year, the Department of Education issued us a certificate of necessity for several projects. One is the purchase of land that would actually be funded if approved through referendum in fiscal 22. That would be next year. They also included a certificate for the construction of a new school on that land. That funding would not begin until fiscal 23. They also approved funding for the addition, for an addition at Clayton Intermediate School, as well as an addition at North Smyrna Elementary School. The funding for those two projects would not begin until fiscal 24. The three construction projects would all be funded over a three-year time period. So for the new school, we would be looking at funding in fiscal 23, 24, and 25. So we'd be probably looking at being able to utilize that school beginning in the 26 fiscal year, 25-26. The other two schools renovations would be a year out from that. We would be recommending that that would be managed as one question for the residents. There's really, it was all part of our reorganization plan that we've been talking about for several years. But I do want to point out the fact that the funding for that will be spread out over a 5-year period. So I do want to make sure that we are all aware of that. The second item that we'd be looking for an approval on would be a recommendation for another current expense increase. The current amount, the current expense increase would be looking to generate $2.5 million. Our last current expense referendum was back in February of 2014. At the time, we were hoping that that would carry us for 3 years. That was the plan. It's actually would be 7 years come this coming February. So it basically lasted twice as long as we had anticipated. Some of the more significant items that would be included in that operating referendum would be the cost associated with operating that new school, whether that be staffing, utility costs, and the like. We don't have room in the budget right now to absorb those additional expenses. We would also be looking at funds to offset this reductions in state funds that we have seen over the last 3 years. Over $1 million a year has been cut out of the Smyrna budget as a result of those reductions. We'd also be looking at, in terms of a new initiative, implementing a one-to-one technology initiative, whereby all of our students would receive a Chromebook. They would receive one in first grade. They would receive a replacement in fifth grade, and they would receive another replacement in ninth grade. As we have seen over the course of the last 9 months, the value and importance of technology within education. It is something that as a district we were looking at, and this has really pushed us to at a more accelerated rate. We have fortunately, as a result of the pandemic, if anything good comes out of it, through some of our federal CARES funding, we were able to purchase 1,500 Chromebooks that really gave us a good jump start into moving into this initiative. If you have specific questions on that, I would defer to Mr. Holt, assuming his audio would be working, and he could discuss a little bit more that that initiative. But that would be one of the big drivers that we're really looking to move ahead with if we're successful with the referendum.
Okay, was that all you had, Mr. Gallagher?
That is all that I have.
All that you had. Well, I thank you for providing all of the information. I always appreciate you providing us with the breakdown for charter and choice. It's always helpful to see sort of the transition back and forth, and certainly looking at our enrollments. I know it's tough for folks sometimes right now to think about referendum when we're not in the buildings as much, but this is work that we've been working on for several years now, and we're really happy that the state came through with a certificate of necessity, and looking forward to discussing this a little bit more later in the agenda as well. So thank you. Finally, in terms of reports and updates, we have our student board member report, and Caitlin is joining us. So Caitlin, we'll turn it over to you.
Good evening, everybody. It's nice to see everyone virtually, of course. I just wanted to start off by saying that while SHS was only back a week in hybrid learning, we got nothing but positive feedback. Many students are looking forward to our return back, including me. That's currently scheduled for January. While we are still barred by the pandemic, a lot of our clubs have been adapting a virtual platform to continue service and community activities. I reached out to some teacher and student leaders across the school, and here's some things that we got going on. In National Honor Society, our officers are working on a virtual tutoring initiative where our NHS members would tutor students in the district from kindergarten through eighth grade. We're still waiting on some approval, but everybody's super excited for that great opportunity. For our FFA chapter, so at the end of October, all 465 members, that's a lot, that make up our Smyrna chapter will be able to attend the National Convey and Expo virtually. In addition, FFA just finished up their citrus and nut sale, selling a total of $30,000 through that. FFA is still going strong with their monthly Zoom meetings, even having a t-shirt design contest to get their new t-shirts out for the year. Our drama club is currently working on hosting a virtual cabaret. Their main goal in that is to reach out to local businesses to get funding for the year, as well as promote their club in the community. In our student government chapter, our officers had planned a large winter spirit week, but unfortunately we had to push that back to the back burner due to the lack of participation experienced when spirit weeks are conducted virtually. However, SGA is super excited to host a huge, fun-filled, and most importantly, safe spirit week when we return back to school. Our K-12 Teacher Academy and the Early Childhood Education Pathways are looking to begin sending out interns to district schools when we return. Of course, that all kind of depends on what's going on with the pandemic. We want to make sure that everybody's safe. These are just a few of all the clubs and opportunities Smyrna High School has to offer. Due to the nature of our schooling, club and extracurriculars have been waiting until we are in person again to really get back up and going. On behalf of everybody at Smyrna, we cannot wait for that day. Thank you, and I hope everybody has a great and safe holiday.
Thank you so much, Caitlin. And trust me when I say on behalf of the board, we can't wait for that day either. We really can't. Thank you for all that you've done, and thank you so much. And please share with your fellow students how proud we are to have them to keep on persevering through all of this and to keep putting up the good work when it's not always easy to do so. We also encourage you to remind them to be safe and be smart about their choices so that we can be back at a minimum of hybrid come January 11th. So with that, before we move on to public comment, I did just want to take a second here and pause and just say really, on behalf of the board, and we've all certainly been in routine conversations, that we really, really do say thank you to all of our teachers, all of our staff, our administrators, our students, our parents, the entire community, for all that they've done and for being patient in all of this. We've talked a lot about giving grace to one another, and it's always good to be in a district where that does happen. I think we're all reminded of those core values that during this time we haven't maybe been as top of mind, but certainly we've seen the compassion for everyone and for each other, especially between our teachers and students, and really giving them so much respect for all that they've been doing, being, having integrity really for the commitment to our community, the commitment to our students, for having respect that everyone has shown in working together, even when the decisions that we make aren't always loved by everyone or anyone. It's a tough spot to be in. We thank you, especially to the teachers again, for taking on the enormity of the responsibility that you have just with switching to virtual learning and still looking out for the students and balancing the personal and professional life that you've been able to do. And as I said to Caitlin, that word perseverance, gosh, if it's not the core value of 2020, it ought to be. Thank you to all of you. No amount of training can prepare us at all for teaching and educating our students during a pandemic. It's not something that they teach us. It's not something that they teach you. So we really thank all of you. Thank you to the staff, the teachers, the administrators. We really hope that during the winter break, you're able to practice some self-care for yourselves. Take some time, take a break, and have a very restful, restorative, and peaceful winter break. So just wanted to give a little bit of a board shout out to everyone after you've provided your comments to us today. So thank you. Okay, at this point, next on the agenda is formal public comment. Mr. Sweeney, do we have, I believe we just have one, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct. And I've asked Mr. Lloyd to start his camera and he is unmuted and queued to go.
Okay, Mr. Lloyd, welcome. Thank you. Just a reminder that you have 3 minutes to speak, and your time will begin as soon as I can get my timer ready. Okay, whenever you're ready, sir.
All right, my name is Buddy Lloyd. Most of you all know me as a grandparent of 4 students in the district. I first want to say thank you to the board, the administrative team, and all for all the efforts, and the staff also, for all the efforts and the hard work that they've all put in to try to make our staff safe, our students safe, and to try to keep them in school. So I appreciate that and want to say that from the bottom of my heart. I know my grandkids were very disappointed when we had to cut off the hybrid learning, but it is what it is. The second thing is I do want to say publicly, thank you for revisiting the decision to allow the winter sports season to start. I know it was a difficult decision because I know you're all concerned about health and safety, but with the schools being empty and everything else, I appreciate the fact you're willing to let them get in starting next week so that they can try to get back on track. They are going to be 3 weeks behind all the other schools in the district, and at least this way it'll get them 1 week ahead of where they would have been. And you know, so I do, again, commend you and thank you for taking the time to reconsider that decision. And I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Lloyd.
Thank you. And thank you again for all the hard work. Having been a district employee, I know it's very difficult to make everyone happy and make the decisions that everyone's agree with. But again, thank you for all your hard work for everyone.
Great. Thank you so much. Mr. Sweeney, was that the only individual signed up for formal public comment?
That's correct, Madam President.
Okay, then the chat will be disabled, and we will proceed with the rest of the meeting. Okay, we're on to new business. We have first up the approval of the board minutes from the November 18th, 2020 Board of Education meeting. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Ms. Evans and a second by Ms. Malik to approve the meeting minutes for the November 18th Board of Education meeting. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, the next item on the agenda is 9.2, the approval of the monthly financial reports. Mr. Gallagher, did you have anything additional there? Wherever Mr. Gallagher went, there he is. He is still muted. They're good to go. I got a thumbs up. Yes? Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
If you have any questions, otherwise we are fine to go.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, Madam President, I make a motion to approve item 9.2, the approval of the monthly financial reports as submitted by the administration.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Ms. Lloyd and a second by Reverend McClamott to approve the monthly financial reports as submitted. Any questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 9.2, school choice for the 2021 school year.
Thank you, Madam President. We have 6 choice applications for inter-district transfer and 4 choice applications for intra-district transfer. 1 inter-district school choice termination form, 0 intra-district school choice termination forms, and 1 denied form have been received for the remainder of the 2020-2021 school year. It is the recommendation of the administration that the inter-district students 1-6, the intra-district students 1-4, the inter-district school choice termination 1, and the no intra-district choice terminations be admitted under choice this evening? I'm tongue-tied for some reason. I apologize.
I make a motion to approve the school choice as submitted by administration 1-6 inter, 1-4 intra, the 1 intra termination for the remainder of the 2020-21 school year.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Ms. Evans and a second by Ms. Malik for the approval of the school choice for the remainder of the 2020-2021 school year as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Next item is again school choice, but this for the 2021-2022 school year.
Thank you, Madam President. 59 school choice applications for inter-district transfer and 12 choice applications for intra-district transfer. No choice termination forms have been received and no denied forms have been received for the 2021-2022 school year. It's the recommendation of the administration that the inter-district students 1-59, the intra-district students 1-12, the inter-district school choice terminations and the intra-district school choice terminations non-submitted be admitted under choice this evening.
I make a motion to approve the 1-59 inter, the 1-12 intra transfers for school choice for the 2021-2022 school year as submitted.
Second.
With a motion by Ms. Malik, a motion by Ms. Evans and a second by Ms. Malik to approve the school choice for the 2021-2022 school year as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 9.5, the major capital improvement and current expense referendum.
Yes, Madam President, as we discussed last month and earlier during the finance presentation this evening, the administration is recommending that the board approve a date of March 23rd, 2021 to hold a referendum for both major capital improvements and current expense operations.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher.
Madam President, I make a motion to approve item 9.5, major capital improvement and current expense referendum as submitted by the administration with a date of March 23rd.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Ms. Lloyd and a second by Reverend McClymont to approve the major capital improvement and current expense referendum with a date of March 23rd, 2021 as submitted. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next on the agenda is item 10, personnel. That's 10.1 through 10.10.
Madam President, I move that we appoint or that we approve item 10.1, retirements, A, 10.2, resignations, A, B, 10.3, leaves of absence, 10.4, reappointment, 10.5, A through F, new hires, 10.6, extra time, 10.7, revised extra duty, and 10.8, executives as submitted by the administration.
Second.
And we have a motion by Ms. Malik and a second by Ms. Evans to approve personnel items 10.1, 10.2, 10.3, 10.4, 10.5, 10.6, 10.7, and 10.8 as submitted by the administration. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We still have the remaining 10.9 up for a motion.
Madam President, I make a motion to approve item 10.9, exempt employee contracts as submitted by the administration.
Second.
We have a motion by Ms. Lloyd and a second by Reverend McClement to approve 10.9 for exempt employee contracts as submitted by the administration. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Madam President, I abstain.
Thank you. Motion carries. Okay, that takes us to 11 student matters, which there are none. And then finally on to adjournment. So with no other business, I declare that this meeting is adjourned. Again, here's wishing all of you a very healthy, safe winter break, and hopefully we will see you in January. Bye, everyone.
See you, everybody.
Good night.
Night.
Night.